Today's episode of Super Gay Wedding is brought to you by the letters LGBTQI and A, and by the number 3.
Hello, and welcome to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
I'm Cindy Savage, real queer wedding planner at ILS Traveled.
And I'm Amanda Summerlin, super gay wedding photographer at Amanda Summerlin Photography.
We're wedding pros who are gay as fuck.
And we're talking about wedding shit from an LGBTQ perspective.
Super gay wedding, fuck yeah! Woo!
What are you up to this week, Amanda? How you been?
Well...
You've been well? That's so great to hear.
Right? patio project still going. Not strong.
And how's your laundry room? Did you finish it?
Shut up.
So it's 100% complete and you can wash your clothes?
No.
Also great to hear.
Yeah, right? I think tomorrow is the day that the laundry room goes back together, because tomorrow's the day I run out of clean clothes and have to go shopping.
So. Yeah, there's nothing like that for motivation.
I don't really want to go shopping, huh?
Who does?
Yeah. I don't.
It's hard to find shit to wear.
I don't mind clothes shopping. You know, I'm finally found a set of stores I like, but I don't feel like spending money right now. Saving it all for home improvement.
Now you're going to need it for your patio.
So what are you up to?
How many more big box home improvement store trips do you think you got in that one?
Everything I need to do the kitchen, the laundry room is already there because I already did the kitchen. So it's...
I meant for the patio.
Oh.
You don't have to answer if you're embarrassed about it.
It's all going to get delivered. That's it. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I like it.
Delivery. Now we have a big delivery of the pavers that'll happen sometime in the next week.
Oh, you don't want to haul those in your Jeep, huh?
It's 9 flats.
I was kidding.
So what are you doing besides drinking in the midday?
I'm enjoying the fact that because I work for myself, I can drink in the midday.
That is one of the best perks, isn't it?
I'm like, in fact, well, I'm working on an article for Catalyst right now. Mm-hmm. Introducing a photographer to the Catalyst community.
Yay. Hmm? Shameless plug.
Yes, go read catalystwedco.com. It's awesome.
Right?
You should. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to write a very nice introduction for a lovely photographer based in New York.
Cool.
And you're going to love her. So that's what I'm working on. And I'm also working on, which I have to finish this week because it's happening next week, putting together my, and this is related to what we're talking about today, putting together my course program for the webinar I'm going to teach in Tamaya Colvin education community about being inclusive to the LGBTQ community in your wedding business.
Yay.
So writing and education, that's what's on my docket this week.
That's awesome. I'm excited about you being on Tamaya's program. She's
me too.
Pretty awesome.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Also, I'm noticing you have new hair today.
I do. I got my haircut last week.
It looks awesome.
And I'm really pleased with it. It's actually not even super styled today. But it's back to a length where I can faux hawk it.
Nice.
Which makes me feel young and cool.
You are young and cool. That color is good.
It makes me feel extra young and cool. Do you know what? I actually went in to get it bleached and my stylist was like, hey, so I can either make it like a normal bleachy undertone, or I can give you maybe a pink undertone that will make your color stand out, because I have pink and purple to put in it. And I was like, go for the pink. And I was expecting it to be a very subtle, slightly pink blonde, and it's pink.
Yeah, that's so like pushing sort of crimson, actually. That's nice.
Yeah, it looks good, and it just means that I don't have to put time into dyeing it until I get tired of it, which
that's
is
really
nice.
Handy, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I saw, guess what I did last week?
Oh no, what'd you do?
I should have started with this because it's the best thing that happened like all year long to my life.
Uh-oh.
I saw Hamilton.
So...
Be excited. Yay? For me.
It's pretty cool.
Damn it, Amanda. It's great.
I'm bad. I don't do stage stuff.
That's fine. But when Hamilton comes to you, you should go see it because it's really awesome.
Is that good?
It really is.
Okay. But
it really is.
The whole spontaneous singing thing, that's the good stuff, right? That's good. Yeah.
Willful suspension of disbelief. It's the key to all entertainment.
or
you do it when you watch TV. Why can't that's unwillful suspension of disbelief. I'm not suspending my disbelief on politics. I'm mostly just sitting here with my jaw on the floor going, how can I pick this back up again? And why does it keep going down every time I get it halfway up?
Okay.
So it's an endless trek up the mountain.
Hamilton's worth the money, the tickets.
Hamilton, yeah. I bought a season subscription, which is not a thing I have ever done in my life before, to the Broadway series here in town entirely so that I could get good seats for Hamilton.
Huh.
And it was 100% worth it.
What else will you
see this
season, do you know?
That was the last show of the season, so I'm done. I saw the whole season already.
Oh.
I spent $400 on my tickets, which was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows, I think.
Wow. You got a deal.
I would have spent $400 just for the Hamilton ticket, right. Frankly. But
some friends of mine.
But I got to see all these other shows for free, so that was nice.
That's pretty good. Some friends of mine in San Francisco saw Hamilton a couple months back. They paid $1,000 each for their tickets.
I believe it. The reason I never saw it in Chicago was because you couldn't. I mean, the limited view seats at the back of the theater were like $500 a piece. And I'm too much of a theater snob to sit in the back, and I'm too fucking broke to sit in the front. So St. Louis, it's cheaper. That's one thing. It's really got going for you.
It's probably cheaper
for it.
The ticket to St. Louis and the tickets to the show.
Yes. From Chicago, it definitely is, because you can get here on the Amtrak for like under $60 round trip.
Cool. That's good. That's a good tip.
It is. You want to come from Chicago, you can get here for under $60.
That's crazy.
As long as you don't wait too long to buy your train tickets. But even if you do them at the last minute, it's like then $70 or $80. So.
Huh. Cool. So who are we talking to?
However, who are we talking to today? Today we're talking to Cassandra Zeta Niehaus. I hope I'm saying her name right, and she can correct me when she gets here, because I've only ever used her first name in person. Sorry if I just foobarred that. Anyway, and she's a photographer. She's based in Ohio? We're going to confirm that one, too. I don't know. I met her in Virginia. What can I say?
We both met her in Richmond when we were at the shameless plug.
Unconvention conference put on by Catalyst Weddings. CatalystWedco.com.
We may as well just like put their stuff in the sponsor links right away.
Yeah, we should.
Because we love them. Shout out to Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
And Carly. Really,
yeah.
And Liz.
And you know what else? Catalyst, by the way, if you like podcasts, Catalyst has a podcast. And
oh, that's right.
Their podcast, they watch TV and wedding episodes and films that have, sorry, TV and movie, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Things on screen where people get married and so critique them.
What you drinking there?
I am drinking a cocktail that my best friend and I invented some years ago. It doesn't really have a name, but it's delicious. You use Uncle Val's Botanical Gin, which is the only kind of gin anyone should ever drink except for Bar Hill on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's about this much Uncle Val's Botanical Gin.
So 2 fingers.
And then the rest of it is, dry brand cucumber soda, which is incredible.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple shakes of black walnut bitters, and then there's some thyme in there that I grew myself, and that's what you should drink.
That's
on a Tuesday at noon. And look who's here. Cassandra just popped in.
Hello.
Hi, Cassandra.
I don't think she can hear us yet.
Mm-mm. Oh, hey. Hey, guys.
There you are. Yes, she can.
It was like, oh, and so I could see you, but I couldn't hear you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So you got a drink? We were just talking about drinks. Yeah.
I made my husband go get some wine before this. No, I genuinely asked him if he would, because I didn't have time.
I went to the store last night because I knew this was happening tonight, and I was And I was out of, I keep running out of wine. It's kind of a problem. And then I was also out of cucumber soda, which I needed to make this cocktail. So I went and did that yesterday. Amanda's already wasted.
Yeah. No, I'm
she's got a big glass of vodka.
Yeah, jug
it. That's what it looks like.
Sorry. Cold water, actually.
It's what water?
It's just water. I'm actually being responsible and working today, so
Who says you can't work with a cocktail?
Well, it's kind of one of the
that's just some weird American bullshit.
But when I say working, what I mean is I'm doing home improvement. It involves me climbing up and down a ladder repeatedly and actually doing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's hard to stand on top of a ladder after you're 3 sheets to the wind, you know?
Yes. Should we record this fucking thing?
We should totally record this fucking thing.
Let's do it.
Hey, Cassandra, how's it going?
Doing well, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Are you really excited? So we were just, before you came on, we were having a discussion about what we're drinking. So let's talk about what you're drinking.
Oh, I've got my Cab Sav, always.
Awesome. That's my favorite.
A good choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then now we have a trio. All three of us, that's our favorite wine.
Oh, so that's awesome.
We need to have a wine club somehow. Virtual wine club.
Right.
We start that?
I think we should.
You know, actually, speaking of wine clubs, a client gave that to me as a gift a couple years
ago. A wine club?
Yeah, she gave me a wine club subscription for like 6 months, and I got like 3 bottles of wine on my front porch for 6 months. They're like the best clients ever. Right.
I love those clients. Where could I get some of those clients?
I don't know.
Or just, you know, more clients than I can buy my own wine with my own money, right?
All right.
It's where all my grocery money goes. Whatever. Anyway, enough about wine.
Well, we should probably talk about Cassandra a little bit.
Yeah, we should. Our first question to you is who are you and what do you do and where do you do it?
Well, I am a queer identified wedding photographer specializing in LGBTQ+ weddings. And I'm based in Cincinnati, but I travel all over the country photographing destination weddings and really awesome couples.
Yay.
Amazing.
That's so awesome. So tell us about some of your destinations this year. Where are you headed?
This month I'm headed to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And then I also have Michigan, Virginia, California.
Yay.
So that's really exciting. I have a few on the East Coast this year, which is really fantastic.
Oh yeah. You haven't been to the East Coast much?
Well, I actually lived in New York City for like 6 months, so I have spent some time there, but, I don't get over to the East Coast as much as I would like to. So I'm excited that it gets to happen.
Cool. About how many years have you been in business so far?
It'll be 6 years in June.
Yay. Congratulations. You're past the 5-year mark, which means you're going to make it.
Success.
Hey, there's some statistic I read not long ago about how, you know, most businesses, like 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years.
Yep.
So I've read
that too.
That's probably true. So I figure now that we're all past the 5-year mark, you know, we can.
I don't know. I rebranded last year. So I've actually like started over.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really only at a year in now. If you count it that way.
I don't really think that counts. Because you have so many more years of experience. You're not just, you're just showing up with a new name, but you're still the same amazing city.
That's true. But it is a lot like starting over.
Right.
From a business perspective, it's a lot like starting over.
So, Cassandra,
we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you.
Right. I was about to say, Cassandra, you photographed a lot of LGBTQ weddings. So let's start with the ugly first. What's the shittiest thing you've seen?
I haven't witnessed so much, luckily, gratefully, this happening with my couples, but I have had some stories that my couples have shared with me. Mm-hmm. A couple of those being, I had a couple where the venue did not take time to learn whose name belonged to which partner. And so they were switching up names during the wedding day and calling them the wrong names. And that's just lack of care and thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
And then probably what the worst thing that I have witnessed, which gratefully it could be far worse, but still not minimizing this whatsoever. But I photographed a wedding recently with two grooms, and the DJ, the entire reception, kept introducing the bridal party and referring to the bridal party. And I just kept thinking, we don't have any brides here. So, you know, it's that terminology that's so important and keeping in mind and honoring, you know, the grooms that are present and the fact that there are no brides.
And the fact that some people don't use those terms at all. They prefer to use their own terms, you know. You know, it's like we ask this question because we assume that at some point some vendors are listening and we want them to sort of know ahead of time some of the easy things to avoid, like you said, learning names, you know. And it's hard, and I admit it, because it's like we're talking to a couple of people that we're just meeting, and you've got to make sure that, you know, you get their names right. That's pretty basic stuff though, right?
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times if I'm meeting a couple for the first time, especially like via Skype, or really in person, because in person you tend to introduce yourself more, but via Skype you kind of just hop on and start talking. And I will immediately ask, you know, like, okay, who is who? Because mm-hmm. I want to know, I have to put a face to the name. And, you know, and a lot of times when you're working with same-sex couples, you have two typically societally expected gendered names that are the same, and, you know, and two brides are hypothetically. So it's hard to know exactly which name. It could be confusing, I guess, to know which name goes to who. So you have to take that time and concern, because you don't have like a Sally and a Bob, which is like obvious of probably who, what name goes to who. I'm like,
right. So if I'm meeting with a straight couple, for example, and I know that I'm meeting with Sally and Bob, when they appear on my screen, it's pretty obvious who's Sally and who's Bob. So if I just keep my little post-it in front of me that's like, I'm meeting with Sally and Bob right now, it's very clear who's who. I don't have to remember it too hard. But when it's,
I'm sorry. There was the time I had the straight couple named Sam and Joe.
Well, that does happen that from time to time.
So who's who? So, I mean, it happens. It happens both ways, though. And it's not rude to go, especially in a Skype meeting, to go, tell me who's who. You know, it's really easy to actually just go, tell me who's who, so I know who I'm talking to.
So let's pivot to happier moments and better times.
Yeah.
What is your favorite moment or experience at an LGBTQ plus wedding?
My favorite moment was a couple of years ago. I had two grooms who had married for the first time in a mass wedding during the March on Washington in 93.
Oh, awesome.
And then they, absolutely. And then they were married by a justice of the peace the fall after marriage equality passed. And then that following spring, they had a vow renewal, which is what I was able to photograph. And it was really incredible to be able to witness this. And during that vow renewal, they also won the anniversary dance. So it was this really beautiful accumulation of 30 years together.
Oh, wow.
Third wedding ceremony and wedding the anniversary dance. And I was just sobbing because it was so beautiful and really incredible that throughout their years together, many of which they probably never expected they were able to marry.
Yeah.
And then how everything came to fruition.
Those are my favorites, you know, when you're working with a couple that's been together for decades, you know, because that's so special, because like you said, they probably never expected to be able to have that ceremony, that, you know, acknowledgement of their relationship, that, you know, legal and public and everything. So that's a really cool story.
It really was. It was incredible to meet them and to photograph them and to witness just the accumulation of so many years together and the celebration of that.
Some of my favorite weddings are people that have been together a long time, straight or LGBTQ. It's just, it's a different experience, I feel like, for everyone involved, basically, when a couple's really been together for a decade or two decades before they decide to make it legal and do the celebration thing. And it just makes it really special, I find.
There's a different vibe at those weddings. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, straight or gay, the straight couples seem to, their people seem to show up and go, it's about time. And then kind of laid back. And, you know, for the LGBTQ couples, it's like, I don't know, there's like this elevated sense of joy that I've struggled to sort of describe it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't find the words for it. You have a better way to describe it?
Well, it's multiple things, you know, there already is that happiness and celebration and joy when people get married, but it's also a triumph over a lot of bullshit. So I think there's an element of like victory to it. Do you know what I mean? Because there has been all this struggle for rights and struggle for acceptance. And when you get in a room with a queer couple, and especially if there's family members of an older generation present who are truly happy for them and joyful and joining that celebration, to me, that's just, it's party on top of party, you know? It's, we won this thing, and also we're getting married, and this is all really fucking awesome.
And I feel like I second all of that. I think victory is a really excellent word to describe how it feels. And I think a lot of my couples in my experience, it's just an immense feeling of gratitude that we're able to celebrate ourselves and our love and to be seen in that kind of way when we weren't for so long. I had another couple who was together for 15 years, raised two daughters together, and waited till they were able to legally marry in their own city and state. And, you know, seeing the kind of joy when that finally happens is just unlike no other.
It's delayed gratification at its finest.
I might take issue with finest. I'm not sure we should have had the words that long, but we should probably dive into our topic of the day. Everybody excited about our topic of the day? What is our topic of the day, Cindy?
Today we're going to talk about alphabet soup. Amanda, what does that mean?
That means that we're going to go down the list and very briefly define LGBTQIA+, right? LGBTQIA+.
Right.
That was what we agreed on. There's many variations, so...
Many variations. And we're going to link to some of those other definitions and places you can get more resources in our show notes. But for today, we're going to ask Cassandra to define that little mouthful of letters for us.
And first, we're doing this because you gave such a great talk at Unconvention, and we haven't stopped talking about that. So we wanted to get you here and have you sort of give a mini version of that, basically. Cool. So what are we going to do? We're going to rapid fire these at you?
Give me an L. I'm not a cheerleader, but I will pretend.
Perfect. So lesbian is when a woman loves another woman.
Woohoo. Good job. Give me a G.
Give me a G.
It's when a man loves another man.
Now, you know, back in the day, it used to be just GLB, and then they added to it. Do you remember when it was G first, and somebody decided to put the L first for ladies? Or it's just me. I'm old. I've been doing this a long time.
I remember when it was GLB, and when it became GLBT, and then when it became GLBTQ.
Right.
And then we got some other stuff, and a plus, and a couple of extra pluses, and a few more letters. I've actually seen one that I think is, I shit you not, like 12 or 13 letters long, and I don't even know what they're all for.
Cool. So
we got the L and the G, which brings us to the B.
That is when you love either a man or a woman, or really, I guess, when you're attracted to those, I'm stumbling.
It's complicated. It's fair.
It's when you love a man or a woman, or just two genders, when you're attracted to two genders specifically rather than pansexual, which we'll get into maybe another day.
Why is there no P? Because the a lot of people make a big distinction between the B, bisexual, and the P, pansexual.
It is in some of the longer acronyms.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. Also, we should probably be saying what the words are too, mm-hmm. as we go through. So the L is, if you don't know, lesbian. Mm-hmm. G is for gay, like super gay wedding. B is for bisexual, which, as Cassandra mentioned, means people who are attracted to both genders. And then we got a T. What's a T for?
T is for transgender, and that is for those who do not identify with the sex they're assigned at birth.
Hey, what does that
gender
mean?
Identity. It means that their gender identity, how they feel in their own bodies, in the realm of, or in the spectrum rather, of masculine to feminine, male to female, when that does not match the sex they're assigned at birth, which is based on oftentimes just your physical genitalia.
Mm-hmm. Let's make a distinction here that biological sex is very distinctly different from gender.
And gender is a construct.
Exactly. I should have worn that t-shirt today. I forgot. I have this awesome Bill Nye the Science Guy t-shirt that says gender is a construct. It's really cool. It's important to make that distinction that biological sex is much more than male and female. And there are lots of interesting variations that occur. And this is getting us into the discussion about the eye, but we'll get there eventually. But it's not as simple as people think it is. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Also, when I was a teenager, people said transsexual, and that's not the preferred term anymore. And we need to make sure that we respect that.
We're going to respect that because basic respect for humans is a good idea.
You think?
And should be found all across our society. And if people say they want a certain label or a certain pronoun applied to them, you should just fucking respect that and do what they ask you to do. They tell you their name, they tell you their pronouns, use what they tell you. Believe them. That's really all it is.
Well said. Cheers to that.
Cheers. That's right. Which brings us to my favorite, mainly because it's the one I use.
Yeah.
The Q.
Q is for queer. And this has a lot of different meanings based on the person. Mm-hmm. But basically, it is used to identify for anyone who does not identify as straight and the variations of that. And it is also used for those who have varying gender expressions, anything outside of the norm, genderqueer, or just queer. So it can be used in a variety of ways based on the person and their own gender identity and or sexual orientation.
Yeah, queer is an interesting word. So you guys both identify as queer, is that right?
Yeah, I do.
Correct.
Yeah. So getting back into, you know, the fact that I'm older than you guys, as a teenager, for me, that was a slur. That was what people called me. In a negative way. And so someone who is, you know, like me, Generation X, often struggles with that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I was younger, it definitely still had that connotation.
Yeah.
That's something I've seen change over my young adult and adult lifetime.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, how would you say people should approach using that word? Using the word queer. I'm sorry, I have a hard time even saying it a lot of the time. But, you know, someone who identifies as queer, are we allowed to call them queer?
I think absolutely. If that person identifies that way, then for sure. But I would never call someone queer who does not identify that way, because that is where like a slur could come in, or it could feel offensive to those who actually don't identify that way.
Yeah.
And I would add that you should never assume that someone identifies. Well, you should never assume how anyone identifies, period. But especially with regard to words that some people may still consider to be slurs, you shouldn't assume, you know, don't call somebody queer unless they've already queered themselves, you know?
Right.
You cool. can call me queer. Because I am.
Cool. So that brings us to I.
I is for intersex, and that is referring to a person who was born with both male and female biological features.
Which happens a lot more than people realize, actually. And again, the distinction between words that people choose to refer to themselves with. Some people identify as intersex and not as transgender because of that distinction, because that they were born with the features. So you want to make sure that you don't accidentally change up those terms on someone. Again, goes back to what they decide to call themselves and respecting that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And an interesting and tragic thing that is, I don't think yet a thing of the past, is that for many years, and like I said, I think it's still currently happening, doctors who deliver babies have taken it upon themselves to decide a child's biological sex when it's unclear.
Yep.
And sometimes gone as far as to do correct, quote unquote, corrective cosmetic surgeries without even telling the parents. I read a really interesting
telling the parents.
Yeah. I read a really interesting book about this a couple years ago, and I'll have to look it up and stick it in the show notes. But basically it's like a widespread thing. And potentially is still happening in some places, but that doctors would say, just going to pick whichever one I think is right and we'll go with that. And I'll do a little correction here so that nobody has to get confused about it, which is exactly how the look on Cassandra's face is right now, which y'all can't see, but what the fuck? What the fuck is what that is?
I actually have a couple of friends that this happened to, and it's hugely traumatic as you grow up because you know something's wrong. You know, you have your body's outward expression does not match how you feel on the inside because someone has made a massive decision without consulting with anyone. And it's a really fucked up way to grow up. Well, that got really, really sad. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Let's talk about A, because A is interesting. People really don't get A, do they?
A is for asexual, and that is a person who is not sexually attracted to others. And with this, it doesn't even necessarily mean that they don't fall in love or that they can't be attracted, but they don't necessarily have to act it out sexually. And this even gets into those who can identify as demisexual, mm-hmm. which is where you have to have a deep romantic connection to someone before you can even let it go into the sexual.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to that graphic I was referencing earlier, which talks specifically about this, but many people don't realize that there's a third, that sexual and romantic love are different from each other.
Right.
So, you know, you have, everybody knows about friend love. You love your friends. It's quote unquote platonic, we call that. But then there's actually, it goes back to ancient Greek philosophy. I'm not going to be able to remember the Greek words, but the platonic is named after Plato.
Really?
And then we have Eros, which is sexual love. And then whatever is the third Greek word that I can't remember, which is romantic love. So there are two kinds where as a culture and society, we've taught ourselves there's just one. So there are some people out there who really only experience romantic love and don't experience sexual love. That's what we call asexual. And there's also aromantic, which is kind of the counterpoint to that. People who experience sexual love, but don't really experience romantic love. Dude. So you could use the A for that too, if you want.
I'm still kind of like, how did Plato get that whole thing named after him? What's the story there?
He's famous. He wrote books.
I know Plato's famous, yeah, but I mean, why do we name a whole kind of love after?
I think actually he talked and wrote a lot about friendship and non-romantic, non-sexual love. And that's why it's named after him. But I may be wrong about that. So sure, don't quote me on it.
Time since that class in college.
I didn't learn that in college.
No.
I've learned that since college. No offense to my college, but I didn't learn a lot about anything besides theater in college, despite having a liberal arts degree and philosophy requirements.
Is there anything else?
Are you asking me?
The great lover of theater.
I'm drinking.
Is there anything else? You're like, chug, chug.
Oh, I thought you were asking if there was anything, any other letters to talk about.
No.
That's why I looked at you blankly.
Cassandra, do you love the theater?
I do love the theater. One of my dearest friends is in theater, and I love to see every show that I can see that she's in.
Oh, cool.
What about shows she's not in?
I enjoy those as well.
That's good.
Is there a pretty good theater scene in Cincinnati? I did not
ask or sing. I'm sorry. There's several different, I forget the word that is used.
Companies? But,
yes, companies. That's it. There's several different in Cincinnati and several great theaters locally. So I love to get out and see those. And then when the Broadway shows come to town, I like to get to those when I can as well.
Cool. I guess that just leaves my uncultured self over here not appreciating theater. Oh, well.
You could be taught.
No, actually, I'm hopeless. One of my best friends is the director of the opera company here in Atlanta. And
opera is different. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Opera and theater are very, very different. Ah, okay. Like, very different. In both behind the scenes and in front of them, they're completely different things. Just because you don't like opera does not mean you won't like theater. We don't need to derail this podcast into why everyone should love theater, though. So, but you should. And if you want to ask me about it, I'm here for you. So we know there's a lot of other letters in the LGBTQ plus alphabet soup that we're not really going to touch on today. Are there any other ones that you think are super common or super important that you want to quickly define before we move on to some other questions about you?
Not that I can think of. Not specifically. Cool. I think that those are a lot of the primary yeast.
Yeah, they certainly are the major ones.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's gone out of favor a little bit, but for a few years anyway, a few years back, the Q also used to be used for questioning people who weren't sure whether sexual orientation was and were giving it some thought, maybe trying out a few different things. So some people may still be using the Q for that.
So, and one of the things we should also mention is that on Cassandra's website, there's a great discussion of gender. We're going to leave that link in the show notes along with her website in general so that everybody can go there. And we'll have these definitions in the show notes too, in case one or two of you want to read our show notes.
What?
Maybe we should start putting knock-knock jokes down there just in case.
Only if they can be themed.
Yeah, let's come up with an LGBTQ knock-knock joke really quick. And go.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
I don't have one. I'm sorry.
I know, right?
Knock-knock jokes are not my kind of funny.
That was awesome. That was like the look of panic on everyone's face. Like,
I will try to think of one, but I don't have one right now.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we can talk about wedding stuff again, because that's what we're really here about. So, Cassandra, what kind of advice do you have for LGBTQ people who are planning their wedding right now?
Yeah. So while this might not be as accessible in small town USA or in certain parts of the country, I would enthusiastically urge the LGBTQ plus community and couples who are planning to research and spend time seeking out other LGBTQ owned businesses or openly gay friendly businesses. I think for us, the potential to save ourselves the pain and the uncomfortableness, uncomfortable experiences with working with vendors who haven't educated themselves and haven't taken the time to learn about our community could really cause undue pain. And so I think just taking that time, because I can guarantee you, in any at least medium to large sized city, there are these vendors there or very near you. And working with them is just going to be a really wonderful experience.
Definitely.
And if you can't find them in your small town, do a larger search, because lots of wedding vendors travel, including LGBTQ owned ones, like literally all three of us that you're listening to right now.
Pretty much.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate how delicately you phrased that, you know, but let's paraphrase it into just saying hire vendors who don't suck. I mean, that's really it, right? It's like,
it is. And, you know, and I get this advice to not just LGBTQ couples, but to everybody, which is hire vendors who enthusiastically support your vision of your wedding.
Right. So, we're introducing a new thing today.
Which we didn't tell you about in advance. Sorry.
We're going off script here. Don't be scared. She's scared.
It's going to be fine. You can answer this one. It's easy. Just tell the truth. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like truth or dare, but no dare.
So the random question of the episode is,
what do you do when you're not working a wedding?
I spend a lot of time doing fine arts. That was my passion before I went into photography. I went to school for design, actually, and I've been missing the tangibility factors of fine arts. So I spend a lot of time trying to get back into that and exploring that. I love traveling. I love taking road trips with my husband. We've done, at this point, the longest road trip we've taken now is 18 hours, and we did that in one day.
Really?
That's a lot. I did that once, and it was kind of horrible.
Be honest, how many fights did you have?
Oh, none.
None? You guys are not compatible?
We rock on road trips.
In a car, no fights.
The most bizarre experiences happen to us a lot of times when we're on road trips, and I can't think of any to give you right now, but they end up creating for really funny memories, and it's really great. So we actually are overdue for a road trip right now.
Cool.
And then other than that, I am obsessed with our two cats. really our one cat, but we have another cat, and we actually have two dogs too. So I'm sort of a cat lover, but that's a big love of mine. So snuggling them as much as I possibly can.
Oh, what are their names?
Deacon and Griffin are our cats, and then Kobe and Olive are our dogs.
That's a lot of critters in one house. You must have like a lot of those lint rollers.
It's rough when we run out of lint rollers and we have to run out and go get them. But so it's a lot of fun.
Bought us this kind that's got this rubberized stuff on it now, so you just rinse it off once it's done. It's like it works with static or whatever.
Oh, I love it.
Because
and it's eco-friendly.
to get out every morning, you know, because she commutes to work. She has to sort of defur herself. It's kind of part of her getting ready process, right? Because we have a lot of pets too. And she got these. She ordered them up. They have like mini ones and big ones. And I don't remember what they're called. I suck, but I'll go look
it up. She's going to figure it out. We're going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, right? Because it has, you know, changed her getting ready. You don't hear her in the bathroom swearing and trying to tear the masking tape anymore, you know.
That sounds like every pet owner's dream. So please share that in the notes because I need to know what that is too.
So, If you're making fine art, I'm going to bring it back around to that because I'm a fine artist too, and I love talking about that stuff. What kind of stuff are you making, and is it something that you're sharing with other people, or is it just for you?
Right now, I'm sort of exploring where I want to go with it. I like to dabble in a lot of things. I recently discovered and started experimenting with block printmaking. I love watercolor and ink. I really enjoy working with geometric and shapes and forms and color in the abstract. And so I'm sort of experimenting at this phase to kind of even figure out what I love again. But my dream would be to have a fine art practice alongside my photography work. And I'm not selling anything at this point, but I do have an Instagram where I'm sharing there.
Okay. Is that something that we can share in our notes too? I would love to follow you.
Yeah, totally.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Cassandra's at a studio, and I'm sharing some there. I also do some lettering work, I share that as well there. I share that there also.
Yay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to follow up with you after the show's over because I could get on this about, like, for days, really, actually. So that's
I would love to. One of my favorite topics.
Yay. So... we have one last question for you, right?
It's the easiest one.
The easiest one.
Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Where can people find you if they want to hire you and hear about your work?
My website, CassandraZetta.com. And I also am really active on my Instagram, which is CassandraZetta. And yeah, those are the best two places to find me.
Yay. Well, you know, thanks again for being here with us. It was really fun to see you again. I really enjoyed meeting you in Richmond. That was really we keep referring back to it because it really was such a great meeting, and we hope that
definitely
more uncomfortable.
Well, and you know, Cassandra and I actually got to share some quality time in the airport because we were on the same flight to Richmond through Philadelphia, and it got delayed and delayed and delayed. So we go way back, all the way back to the Philadelphia airport. Some good times in there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome chatting, and it was lovely to meet you both. And Cindy, I appreciate the airport buddy experience. It was very calming before my speaking at Unconvention, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about us, be on the show, or tell us what we should talk about next,
check us out at supergaywedding.com.
Find us at facebook.com/supergaywedding
or email us at supergaywedding@gmail.com.
And if you need a bomb-ass wedding planner who totally has her shit together and is wicked competent, then you need to check out Cindy's website at islelesstraveled.com.
And if you need a destination photographer who's not afraid to get her camera dirty capturing your wedding adventure, then you should get your ass over to amandasummerlin.com.
And by the way, if you hire us both, we're going to give you a 5% discount.
Because we're fucking awesome.
And we love working together.
And we will rock your wedding. Super Gay Wedding! Fuck yeah!
Woo! Nailed that shit. Super Gay Wedding!
Fuck yeah!